Well, you know what they say. The more electronical things that you have, the more electronical things can go wrong. That must be scriptural. I'm not sure if it is or not. But I'm going to get to look at the pictures tonight, and you're not. Evidently. Because we're not communicating somewhere between here and here. And everything, as far as I can tell, is hooked up like it's supposed to be. So, if you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4 at verse 13. You know, sometimes we can't always be where we want to be. And this was the case with the Apostle Paul as he wrote this letter to 1 Timothy to young Timothy, gospel preacher, who was in Ephesus, and Paul was away from him for a while. And Paul gives instruction to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 13, and he uses the phrase, until I come. Paul was in a place where he couldn't just talk to Timothy face to face, but he was continually exhorting and teaching this young preacher by way of letter, an exhortation and doctrine in this letter, in the second letter as well. But he uses the phrase, until I come. And we might do the same thing. We might be talking to someone, until I get back, do such and such, or take care of this for me, or be about this and this, or whatever the instruction might be, to take care of something in our absence. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, till I come, Paul says to Timothy, give exhortation, give attention to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy and the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. What more could Paul have said to exhort this young preacher to take care of business till he gets back? You know, we always talk about taking care of business. And that's what Timothy was to do. So until Paul could come to Timothy, he wanted him to take care of things until he came. And I can just see that we maybe should use this same thing, until I come, as the Lord's exhortation to us until he returns. Think about these same things on that term. And using that phrase, until I come, imagine that the Lord Jesus is coming back, which he is, and he's left us things to do in the meantime. And he says, until I come. And he tells us the same thing. Give attention to the public reading of Scripture. Give heed to the exhortation of the brethren. And then also to the doctrine. Well, how successful are we at doing that? How faithful are we all? Not just the preacher, not just the Bible teacher on Sunday morning, not just the eldership, not just the deacons, not just the Bible class teachers in the classrooms, but every Christian has the same duty, do we not? We all share in the public reading of Scripture. We get together on Thursday nights, we read. Each one just takes its turn and reads a chapter of whatever book we happen to be in, New or Old Testament alike. On Sunday mornings, Joe will have often someone, please read for us this scripture, and we take turns and we share in the public reading or the open reading of the scriptures, as we should. But is this the only place that should take place? On the church grounds? Surely not. Is it possible or is it factual that we should be about the public reading of Scripture in other places? Now, you can get in trouble for doing that in some places. You know that, don't you? Are you willing to take that burden of reading the Scriptures anyway? Have you ever been downtown Longview, right by the post office on a Thursday afternoon? Anybody? Seen the fellow that's there on the sidewalk? He is about the public reading of Scripture, and I might add, at the top of his lungs. And people walk by and they avoid him on the sidewalk. They'll walk around him like he's got the plague or something. But he is right there. The doctrine I've heard him teaching is not real questionable. And he's all about sin. He's about that Bible from Genesis chapter 3 on down to Revelation 22 and the end of there, where it's about sin. He's about sin. And he'll tell you what sin is, whether you want to hear it or whether you don't. And he's about the public reading of Scripture. He walks to and fro in front of the post office, right in front of the government building. I love that part. I just love that part. And he is not bashful about reading that Scripture. So he's tentative to this example of being attentive to the public reading of Scripture. How many of us have that kind of nerve? When's the last time you walked in front of any building, anywhere, reading Scripture and teaching against sin? Can we? Sure. Should we? I believe so. Pick a place. Just go pick a place. I challenge you to go down in front of one of the barbecue stands there in Longview and be about the reading of a public reading of Scripture. I think Paul would have. I think that's how Paul established congregations of the Lord's church. I think he read Scripture in public. Don't we bear that out in Scripture? He always went to the tabernacle or to the Jewish folks first, and that didn't work, so he went to Gentiles, and he read Scripture. So he exhorts young Timothy to do the same thing. Be about that public reading of Scripture. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, look back a chapter, Paul refers to the church as the pillar and ground of the truth, and that it is. If we're not the pillar and ground of the truth, who will be? In Romans 15, verse 4, Paul would write to the Roman church, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." If we were to go about doing the same thing that fellow does down at the post office, and I don't even know what body of believers he belongs to, but if we were to do the same thing, we would be able to exhort those folks about those things written before and give them hope. Paul said that's why those things were written before, that we, through the patience of the Scriptures, can have hope. And there's comfort in them, there, Scriptures. You've all known that. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, you know the verse as well. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, right? We stop there sometimes because all Scripture that's given by inspiration of God is profitable. But Paul went on, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We need to be about that reading of Scripture. He says we need to be about exhortation, exhorting the brethren. How many of you feel exhorted when you've been here on a Sunday morning after worship services? I do. I hope you all do. I know two that did this morning. They were uplifted big time. Get me in the water now. And we praise God for that. But if we're not being exhorted, if there's no exhortation happening, we're falling down on our lips on what God has set about for us to do. It wasn't just for Timothy. It wasn't just for Titus. It wasn't just for Jude and Paul and John. It's for all of us. If we don't exhort the brethren, who will? Acts chapter 14, verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. You ever been through tribulations? I know we didn't go through, hadn't been through anything like they went through in the first century, but have you had troubles? Have you had sorrows? Have you had bad things happen? Probably. Paul says, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom. There's going to be stuff that comes our way that we're not going to like. And if we're not around to exhort one another, who's going to do it for us? You know, I was hearing something the other day. Well, it was Neil Thurman here on last week during the lectureship. Sometimes folks try to lift us up and they just say the wrong things. You know, it'll be okay. Well, maybe it won't. Maybe it will take a long time for it to be okay. So don't tell me right now it's going to be okay when I know it's not. Scripture exhorts us and lifts us up more than anyone else ever could. Have you ever had occasion when you just things were just going kind of sideways in your life and you just sat down and read the Psalms? Or you read the prophets? Or you read Paul? And things were better just because the Scriptures brought you up a level? Be about the exhortation. Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily. Father, it is called today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 12:5, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as of sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. We're encouraged to exhort one another in a lot of places in Scripture. And it's our task It's a duty. It ought to be a willing duty to be around to exhort the brethren every chance we get, through the reading of Scripture, or through a pat on the back, or however we need to do to exhort one another. And he says daily. Exhorting one another also to staying faithful to God, because sometimes that old deceitfulness of sin comes around and takes us by surprise. He says, and pay attention to the doctrine as well. That's the third thing. Psalm 19, or 119, verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I hope you do that. I hope you spend a lot of time, I know most of you do, spend a lot of time in God's word and contemplate and meditate. See what God says to you on any given day, any given time. Be uplifted and understand the doctrine. First of all, we're to be about those three things. Next, he tells him to be about using his spiritual gifts. Till I come, give attention to the reading and exhortation and the doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of my hands of the elder, or the hands of the eldership. Now, nobody prophesied over any of us and told us we're going to have these gifts. Nobody laid hands on any of us and said, here, have these gifts. So I guess we're left out. No, I'm just kidding. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, did not Peter say to be baptized for the remission of sins and you'll receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Is it the case then that each one of us have that if we've been baptized for the forgiveness or remission of our sins? Sure. Is that a non-active Holy Spirit gift? No. The fact is, every one of us has a gift, a talent, an ability that, guided by the Holy Spirit of God, we can use for the upbuilding of the brethren, for the upbuilding of the cause of Christ, for the expansion of the kingdom, for doing whatever it is we need to do for the cause of Christ. Every one of us has a gift to do with that. But I fear that some don't use it. They don't think, well, I can't do anything. I'm not educated. I'm not this. I'm not that. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to be able to use your gifts. In case nobody told you that, I wanted to pass that along to you. Doesn't take a mathematical genius. Doesn't take a physicist. Doesn't take a degreed chef. It doesn't take a licensed daycare center owner. It doesn't take any of those things to do what needs to be done for the Lord's body. Doesn't take someone who is gifted in language to go and talk to someone. It doesn't take someone who's gifted in hospital etiquette to go and talk to someone who's laying in a hospital bed in pain. Doesn't. Any one of us can do that, and all of us have some of those talents, and we can use them. Paul was exhorted not to ignore or neglect the gift that he'd been given. My fear is that some of us ignore the gifts that we've been given just because we don't think we have any. But if you sit down and write, maybe later on tonight when you get home, sit down and write all the, write down on a paper and pencil. Sometimes it takes looking at it in front of your face. Write down the things that you're capable of doing that have anything to do with the church, the gospel, the kingdom, or your brethren. What can you do for the cause of Christ? And we all can do something. I know we can. All of us have different talents and different gifts. If you know, I just imagine among the how many people, 50, 60 people gathered here tonight, there's not much we cannot do together or individually, putting our efforts in the same focus. When you think about it like that, I'm only one person. I can't do such and such. But someone else can, and I can do what someone else cannot do. And when we do it in that manner, we need to pay attention to those gifts that we've been given. It's the saddest thing to have a gift and not use it. Have you ever gotten something for Christmas that you just didn't need? Birthday present you just didn't need? Pretty sad situation. Can't use it. Well, we can take it back. But you hate to do that because it was given to you out of love. So you keep it, and it sits on a closet shelf and collects dust. how much sadder is it to receive a gift from God and not use it? With that, God surely is not pleased. Timothy was told to devote yourself fully to Christ. Paul goes on to say, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them. How many of us are not giving ourselves entirely to the cause of our Lord? That goes along with using those gifts. I'm told of a sojourner who's a fellow who's like 90-something years old, and he's not really well, but he's come down to the camp this year, and he's sojourned this year anyway. I don't know what his name is, but I hear a lot of folks say, well, I'm just too old. I don't have it in me anymore. If this fella at 90-plus years old and in not the best of health can drive, I don't know how many miles he drove his RV to get down here this year, but if he can be out there and be ready to go with the youngsters, what are we talking about when we say, I'm just too old? I know we have some 90-plus year old folks. I don't see many up here tonight because they're resting from this morning, and that's okay. They were here today. They got up and came. But I don't care if you're 9 or 90. There's work for you to do. There is no retirement from the Christian system. It's just not. I defy you to find anything in the Scripture, New Testament or Old, if you want to go back and look there too, that says you can work so long for the Lord and then you get to retire or quit. Folks, it ain't in there. It's just not there. Paul told Timothy, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them until you're 70. No, he didn't say that. You see what I mean? Every Christian who wants to go to heaven, listen, every Christian who wants to go to heaven must give himself entirely to the Lord. As simple as that. Scripture bears that out. If it was good enough for Timothy, wouldn't it be good enough for us? Just because Timothy was a preacher, some people say, well, that was for Timothy. No, Timothy was a Christian. He's just like me. He happened to be the one that stood up on Sunday morning and read Scripture and preached. Other than that, he was just a Christian like everybody else. Next thing he was told to do is take a spiritual inventory. These are getting harder, aren't they? They are. Take a spiritual inventory. Meditate on these things. Give yourself to them that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself. When's the last time you took heed to yourself? When's the last time you examined yourself? Wasn't it the Apostle Paul? I believe it was Romans chapter 8, verse 9. It says, examine yourself to see if you're still in the faith. Well, I'm sure we're in the faith. We talked about that faith this morning, but we need to examine ourselves to see how complete is our faith. Remember we talked about the faith this morning? Faith plus works equals complete or mature faith. How mature is our faith? How complete is it? Without those works, it's not. It's like having a dead faith, James said. What about Romans 12 at verse 6? Let's go there just for a second. Romans 12 at verse 6. What did Paul say? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We need to be about seeing if we have that in us and if we're using that ability. Taking heed to ourselves. Don't try to teach others till you've taught yourself. There's a concept. You know, a lot of folks, the Hebrew writer says at one point, by now you ought to be teachers, but they weren't. But on the other hand, the other side of that coin, sometimes folks want to teach before they're ready. That's not a good thing either. Teaching something that you don't have the full concept of is a dangerous proposition. I can think of a lot worse things than trying to teach the gospel if you didn't know what you were really knowing and doing, bomb making, things along that nature. If you don't know what you're doing making bombs, you don't want to teach somebody else to do that. The guy asked the guy teaching him about bomb making, he says, what do I need to know? He says, if you see me running, get it behind me. I'm sorry for that one. I really am. The point is, unless you know what's right in you, it's hard to teach what's right to someone else. If we don't take inventory of ourselves on occasion, how do we pass the word along? How do we pass the teaching along? How do we instruct somebody else if we're not sure about us? Take heed to yourself. Until I come, faithfulness means every day, every ability, every opportunity, total commitment to Christ. That's what I believe Paul was telling Timothy. If Jesus wrote you a personal letter, I believe that's what he'd tell you. Until I come, you be faithfully committed 100% to the doctrine, to the exhortation, to the teaching, to the public reading of Scripture, examining yourself so you'll be able to exhort and teach others. Isn't that fair? Fair surmise of what Jesus might tell us all, isn't it? Reading of Scripture, using your spiritual gifts, being fully devoted, those are just things that are ours to be about because we've chosen to follow the King. He's our leader. He's our Savior. These are things He would want us to do. You don't have to. It's a good idea if you do. The song that's been chosen tonight is 916. What a day that will be. You know, we sing this song. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. Now, when you sing this song or you really got your focus on that day, what a day that will be. What an amazing, awesome, unbelievable day that will be. When my Jesus I will see. Some are going to see Jesus on that day and it's not going to be so awesome. It's going to be a terrible day. We talked about some of those folks this morning who will have not obeyed the gospel by that point, who will be relegated to being separated from God, tormented for eternity. What a day that will be for those who have done, as we've said, been obedient and been about that full commitment to God. If your commitment tonight has not been up to this point what it should have been, you might want to make a change in your life and your direction with Christ. You might want to be a little closer to Christ after the evening's over with and dedicate yourself to some of these things with any ability that you have to do those things with. If you're here tonight and you've never been obedient to the gospel, we talked about that briefly this morning. We had two that mentioned earlier that came this morning and in making sure of their salvation and being baptized for the knowledge of the right reasons with the right heart, etc., who were baptized when they were kids. Not really knowing after they thought about it some years later. If you're looking back and you're not sure about your salvation, you might want to come this afternoon. There may be another reason that would cause you to respond to this invitation, but you have to make that determination. I encourage you, I beg you, I exhort you to do that while we stand together and sing number 916.